You're listening to the After the Stork podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert, episode 10. In this episode, we are going to explore what to realistically expect throughout the night due to the nature of sleep, how we in this stork community define sleeping through the night, and five different areas that can have an effect on whether or not your child is ready to be sleeping through the night, if not doing so already. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to the After the Stork podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert. That's me, creator and host. If you have an infant or toddler and sleep is a priority for your family, if you want to create healthy sleep habits and a strong and safe sleep foundation for your little one, if you desire a predictable schedule that permits time for things like self-care, date nights, and planned outings, if you need your bed back or want your child sleeping in their own sleep space and desire to follow safe sleep guidelines, if you crave an overall well-rested and thriving family, well, you've come to the right place. As an infant and toddler sleep consultant, I built this podcast to bring you all things infant and toddler sleep and sleep training so that you can have the confidence in making informed decisions that are best for your family when it comes to your child's sleep. Your child is worth it. Your family is worth it. And moms, dads, you are worth it. Now let's dive in. If you are a parent, you have probably at some point throughout your parenting journey received the question, is your baby sleeping through the night yet? If your answer is no, this question might leave you feeling as if something is wrong with your baby or that you're not doing something right. Well, let's discuss what this whole sleeping through the night idea realistically means, or as you will often see used when typed out in parenting groups, STTN. Just like I discussed when defining sleep training in episode 3 and cry it out in episode 4, people often have different definitions from one another for certain terms or phrases. Sleeping through the night is one of those phrases. There are generally two parts to any definition for this term. One, the characteristic of sleep. Two, for how long the baby experiences those characteristics. First, the characteristics. For some, it means uninterrupted or consolidated sleep. For others, it means that your baby doesn't require any assistance or a night feeding. Second, the duration. For some, they are referring to a specific characteristic of sleep for a duration of 6 to 8 hours, and others are referring to the entire night of 10 to 12 hours. And for a lot of people, it's the idea that a child will sleep without ever waking until it is time to start a new day. So in this episode of After the Stork podcast, we are going to explore what to realistically expect throughout the night due to the nature of sleep, how we define STTN here in the stork community, and five different areas that can have an effect on whether or not your child could be sleeping through the night. First, the nature of sleep. A short and sweet explanation is that a few night wakings are normal. Nobody sleeps through the night. A better explanation though, a full sleep cycle consists of transitions between non-REM sleep or deep sleep and REM sleep, light or dream sleep. Between full sleep cycles, we occasionally have what are called partial awakenings. This happens a few times at night between sleep cycles, and it is normal that your child might make noises in that lighter phase of sleep or during the couple of natural wakings. And it is normal that our brains experience full awakenings a couple times at night while transitioning between sleep cycles. It is common for this to happen, but we don't always remember it happening. For those times that we do remember, think of when you perhaps use the restroom, grab a drink of water, flip your pillow over to the cooler side, and then reposition. Now, it is also normal that wakings happen more frequently the closer to the morning that one gets. One reason has to do with sleep pressure. When first going to sleep, sleep pressure is high, but as we sleep, sleep pressure decreases further into the night. The second reason is due to the architecture of sleep cycles and how those sleep cycles evolve throughout the night. We begin the night with deep sleep. The first sleep cycle of the night mostly consists of that deep sleep, the type of sleep where it is difficult to be woken up. However, throughout the night, with each passing sleep cycle, the amount of non-REM sleep, that deeper sleep, decreases and REM sleep or dream sleep becomes more prevalent, a time when we are more likely to be woken up. So now that you understand that no one truly sleeps through the night, let's move on to what we mean in this stork community when we say sleeping through the night. First, I don't usually use this phrase when talking with parents because I try to be sensitive to how one might perceive it. Again, I don't want to make someone feel like they're doing something wrong or that anything's wrong with their baby. But because it is the commonly used term when discussing sleep for children, I want to make sure we are on the same page when using it here in this stork community for when it comes up in conversation. Sleeping through the night in this stork community means a child goes through the entire night without needing any external assistance and without any prolonged moments of waking. So a child still experiencing one or more night feedings, I would not consider them sleeping through the night. A child needing to be rocked, nursed, or patted back to sleep, not sleeping through the night. A child waking and being awake for more than about 10 minutes or so, not really sleeping through the night. And by the way, that number of 10 minutes, there's really no specific number, but just trying to get the point across that if your child is awake for an hour or for a really long duration of time and they're not just drifting out of sleep and then back into it rather quickly, it's not sleeping through the night in my definition. A child waking and falling back asleep independently rather quickly, that would be considered sleeping through the night in our stork community. Now, just because your child does not sleep through the night, again, does not mean there is anything wrong with your baby or with what you are doing. So to help you evaluate if your child could be sleeping through the night or maybe needs more time before setting that expectation, let's look at 5 indicators for whether or not they are at a point in time when they might be ready. 1 indicator is the age and or weight of your child. According to Stanford Children's Health, and this is a quote, most babies don't start sleeping through the night, their definition being the 6 to 8 hours, without waking until they are about 3 months old or until they weigh 12 to 13 pounds. About 2/3 of babies are able to sleep through the night on a regular basis by age 6 months. So that is a good baseline for understanding what to expect, but let's take a deeper dive. Younger infants will wake more frequently. We believe this has to do with protecting infants from SIDS. For newborns under 6 weeks of adjusted age, sleep is unorganized and kind of all over the place. They are most likely going to wake several times at night. After about 6 to 8 weeks of adjusted age, night sleep becomes more organized and many will experience a solid 4 to 6 hour chunk of sleep at the beginning of bedtime, followed by frequent wakings for night feedings. For a child 16 weeks adjusted age and older, they generally will begin to get a longer stretch of sleep at the beginning of night, if not doing so already, with 0 to 3 night feedings. Around 6 to 9 months of age, generally down to 0 to 2 night feedings, and by 1 year of age, sleeping through the night, if not already doing so. Keep in mind, these are general age ranges based on sleep development. Some children will be outliers, and it will also depend on the next 4 indicators. The second indicator of whether or not a child will sleep through the night is where they are developmentally. When going through leaps and milestones, teething, growth spurts, sleep is bound to be affected. For example, the startle reflex is something that will wake your newborn. This reflex usually starts to decrease between 3 to 6 months of age. Hence, kind of helping sleep in a way because your child is not going to be woken up by that startle reflex. But again, keep in mind that for newborns, it's helpful that they are easily woken up. Another example, around 4 months of age, during that dreaded 4-month sleep regression, a baby is actually going through a sleep leap as their sleep is maturing. So I really prefer to call it a sleep leap rather than sleep regression. But hey, again, definitions, terms that people normally use, sleep regression is typically what you hear. During that time, a child experiences more profound wakings between sleep cycles. And for some babies, this can mean being wide awake for like an hour in the middle of the night. But once they adjust to this change in their sleep, they then begin connecting sleep cycles more easily if given the opportunity to do so. For a child lacking the components of Ezra Plus discussed in episode 3, they will have a much harder time through these types of transitions. The third indicator of 5 is how your baby gets calories. Breastfed babies are more likely to wake frequently throughout the night for a feeding than formula fed. It's just the nature of breast milk. A baby is going to absorb the breast milk more quickly than they do the formula. 4, overall health. If your child has some kind of health issue they are trying to overcome, sleep will most likely be affected. This could be a temporary or long-term health concern. It could be something you are aware of or something that is underlining that you haven't yet discovered. An example of something you might be aware of is your baby needing more feedings than average in order to help with weight gain, or needing to provide medications at certain times for whatever reason is deemed more important by the healthcare provider than uninterrupted sleep. For example, I once worked with a family who had to wake their infant son every 4 hours to apply eye drops to his eyes after having an eye surgery. An example for when you might or might not be aware, ear infections or other illnesses. When a baby is set up with components that allow them to sleep well most of the time, it is much easier for parents to pick up on when they are not feeling well, both due to frequent night wakings that aren't typical for the individual child and lacking sleep or discomfort causing the child to be fussier than usual. An example of an underlying medical issue that you might not be aware of would be sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is when breathing during sleep stops and starts. Symptoms of sleep apnea, while not always an indicator, are snoring and/or mouth breathing. This generally will occur when an individual has large adenoids and/or tonsils, which obstruct the air passageway, meaning that the individual experiences what are called protective arousals. Protective arousals are the brain protecting the individual from asphyxiation, thus causing frequent wakings and often preventing the individual from going into a deep sleep. This is the brain preventing the individual from sleeping so deeply that they won't wake if unable to breathe. This is the brain's way of keeping the individual alive. While protective arousals are to be expected of newborns, as this is suspected as reducing the risk of SIDS, frequent arousals for a baby after several months of age, once SIDS is less common, is not to be expected. So if your baby snores and mouth breathes, understand that this is typically not normal. If this is your child or even you, I highly encourage you to seek out a sleep specialist or ENT in your area to discuss further. And last but not least, as discussed in episode 3 of the podcast, if your child does not have the appropriate components in place to allow healthy sleep, they are going to have a very difficult time sleeping through the night, even when they are ready. For example, the sleep environment. If any light is getting into the room, your child might have a difficult time falling back asleep when waking between sleep cycles, especially earlier into the morning due to the REM sleep as mentioned earlier. The schedule, is it appropriate for your child? If not, it can cause fragmented sleep patterns. Is your child able to independently fall asleep and connect sleep cycles? If not, they will have a more difficult time smoothly transitioning between sleep cycles during those partial or full awakenings, and again, especially earlier into the morning, causing more frequent and profound wakings. So there you have it, the definition of STTN, sleeping through the night, for our Stork community. A brief description of the nature of sleep, and 5 indicators you can use to evaluate whether or not your child is potentially ready to sleep through the night, or maybe needs more time before ready to do so. Like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast, as well as finding me on Facebook and Instagram with handle afterthestork.megan. That's afterthestork.megan, spelled M-E-G-A-N. And as always, remember, your child is worth it. Your family is worth it. And you, parents, are worth it. Thanks for tuning in to the After the Stork podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. By doing all of those things, you can help me to reach more families in need of guidance with their little one's sleep. And if you don't already, follow me on Facebook and Instagram using the handle afterthestork.megan. That's afterthestork.megan. And if you desire support with your little one's sleep journey, you can reach out to me directly on either one of those platforms. I hope to see you there.